Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Florida International University Professor Dr. Eileen Marty. Good morning, Dr. Marty. We're hearing a lot about tick bites and these meat issues. And the CDC says close to 500,000 Americans might be living with an allergy to meat. Many have not been diagnosed. What do you know about this?
Yes, this is what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's basically an allergy that some people develop to this sugar molecule. It's an oligosaccharide. And the sugar molecule is something that humans can have an allergic reaction to because we don't have the enzyme that would normally produce it like other mammals do, right? So any mammalian food could potentially set off this problem, whether you're eating rabbit or pig or cow or goat, sheep, you name it. It all can potentially set off this allergic reaction, but only if you have previously been bitten by a tick that gave you the same sugar molecule. And it's really interesting why that happens, Bob. Shall I explain it?
Sure, if there's a way that we can understand it.
Well, I think so. So there are special cells in our body that want to get rid of the tick. Their job is to get rid of the tick, and those are basophils and mast cells. And so when the tick bites, anything that it releases, these basophils and mast cells start associating it with the tick. And some ticks, especially the Lone Star tick, but other ticks too, especially in other parts of the world, lots of other different types of ticks can transmit this particular sugar. So these mast cells and basophils that are really just trying to get rid of the tick say, oh, that must be part of the tick. So now that you've been bitten by a tick that introduced this concept to your mast cells and your basophils, well, they recognize it now when you consume it, right? Mm-hmm. Or when you have a drug that has it. And so you develop a special type of antibody called IgE that then acts as little pistons that are ready to fire off. And then these mast cells and basophils, when they see the alpha gal, it sets them off on an exploding mine, that kind of thing. And they release so many chemicals that it can cause very bad symptoms. Now, it won't happen immediately after you eat the meat, right? It's going to take at least 2 hours and up to 6 hours before you get any symptoms from it. But the symptoms is going to vary because different people have different levels of the symptoms from this. So mm-hmm. Some people will only have mild symptoms, nausea, maybe a little diarrhea. Other people can have a very severe anaphylactic reaction, and it can kill you. Hmm. So it's really important to know this diagnosis.
All right, important to stay away from ticks. But is there some kind of test that would indicate whether you are susceptible to this?
Well, people who have allergic, kind of an allergic underlying problems in general are more susceptible to it because they're more likely to form a lot of the same kind of IgE and have a lot of that same kind of IgE on their basophils and mast cells, and therefore it'll set off much more on that. But yes, there is a way of detecting whether you have it or not. There's a special test that we do for the IgE antibody against the alpha gal, and if you have that, then you are a victim. And there is no specific treatment for that problem, although the good news is that in most people, it tends to diminish over time if they don't get another tick bite.
Before we let you go, Dr. Marty, I was reading about cases of leprosy increasing where you are there in Florida and also other parts of the Southeast. Is there any thought that this might spread, and why is this happening? Do we know?
Yeah, well, it is true that the cases in Florida have gone up very significantly in the last few years, and this is a disease that we've known about since biblical times. It probably entered Western civilization with Alexander the Great bringing it over when he, and you know, after he went to India, and it's the slave trade that brought it to the Americas. And once we had leprosy in the United States, what became the United States in the late 1800s, there was a site in Louisiana known as Carville where unfortunate victims of this infection were concentrated in this what was then a leprosy colony, and that lasted for 100 years, Bob, up until 1999, and armadillos in the area, which root in the soil, became contaminated. These armadillos have a very low body temperature, so they're highly susceptible to carrying a whole bunch of this leprosy bacterium. And eventually these armadillos came to Florida, you know, traveling across the U.S. And so we found these armadillos with leprosy in Florida, and we know that that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that there are still ongoing areas of the world that are other hotbeds of leprosy, like Brazil and Mexico and India, et cetera. And when people from there emigrate, they can also bring leprosy to the United States, and people can get contaminated. Now, that's the bad news. What's the good news? The good news is somewhere between 90 and 95% of humans are not susceptible to leprosy at all, because you do have to have a genetic predisposition to wind up getting any types of symptoms of leprosy. And the symptoms of leprosy are going to vary depending, you know, from what we call it. It's a big spectrum disease. You know, leprosy is one of the diseases that taught me more about infectious disease and immunology than any other disease on the planet, Bob. It's really a very fascinating disease and how it interacts with the immune system. So people at one end of the spectrum will have almost no evidence of their disease. Mm. And at the other end, they'll have big, big, big lesions and lots and lots of problems. And we treat those two patients differently. Mm-hmm. But the key thing about leprosy to know, Bob, is to treat it early so that you don't end up with long-term complications like blindness and loss of mm-hmm. extremities.
Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist. That's it for our allotted time for scaring people today, Dr. Marty. And I thank you for the information. We'll talk next week. And we'll get the news
Thanks,
on here.
Bob.
Thank you.